What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the UConn Hockey Podcast. My name is Matthew, and thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And on today's podcast, me and Kevin talk about the first 3 weeks of the season, and we also preview the upcoming series against UMass Lowell. However, before we get to today's episode, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at UConn Hockey Pod, and make sure to follow this podcast on Spotify and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts as well, and leave a rating and review. Doing this helps the podcast grow, helps new people find us, and I really appreciate it. Now, without further ado, here is today's episode. I hope you guys enjoy. I just first off want to say I apologize for the two-week hiatus. Had a lot of schoolwork to get done, so didn't have time to record. And I guess it's a little bad timing with the team's performance because I feel like people might think I've been ducking a little bit, but I haven't. I do have to get schoolwork done. That is a little more important sometimes, so I apologize for the delay, and I don't like doing solo pods. I just don't think they sound as good. So, but I'm happy to be back this week and talking with my good friend Kevin just about sort of the state of the union of the team after the first 3 weeks. Currently, the team is 2-3-1. They got a win and a tie against Colgate. They got swept by Holy Cross, and then they split against Union last weekend. Kevin, since you're the guest host, I'll start off with you. I'll call you a co-host now. You've been hosting long enough with me. So what's just your overall impressions of the team and just sort of your takeaways from the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Love being on the pod. And no need to apologize for the schoolwork. I do what you got to do. We've all been there. So, in terms of the team, state of the union, I don't know. I guess it's a good thing we're recording this now as opposed to, you know, maybe like 48 hours ago, after Friday night's results against first result, I should say, against Union, or last weekend at any point against Holy Cross. I think, you know, now that I've had some time to kind of digest both of the last two weekends, really the last three, I mean, let's be honest, they weren't setting the world on fire at Colgate either. I'm still pissed, but I'm taking it a little more in stride. I find our NCAA tournament hopes. I think they're shot. I really do. That was kind of my goal coming into the season. And that's why I'm in the mood that I'm in. I don't think the season is necessarily shot. I think there's still things we can accomplish. We can, you know, we can win CT Ice. You know, Quinnipiac looks beatable this year, as evidenced, you know, by their series up at UNH. And, you know, I think UConn can still finish top five in Hockey East. I still don't think that's necessarily out of, you know, the stretch of possibility. I just think that these non-conference games put us so far behind the eight ball that I truly at this point in time, at October 23rd, 8:40 p.m., I do not consider the NCAA tournament to be a realistic possibility without winning Hockey's. I truly don't. You know, we could still make a run, get to the Garden. It could still be a fantastic season. I just think that unless Holy Cross like sets the world on fire, you know, when Atlantic Hockey or something, I don't see any way that they can make up for it in Hockey's. Because I mean, Hockey's is what we thought it was. It's really good. UMass, who I thought was going to bounce back this year, they're not now a top 20 team. Providence has, who I was skeptical of, you know, going into the season, has looked fantastic. You know, and then you have BUBC, you know, obviously are kind of are who we thought they were as well. I mean, it was always going to be tough to win Hockey East, and, you know, the conference as a whole has looked good in non-conference. So that's encouraging, obviously, with the exception of us. But I think we'd have to finish either regular season champ or maybe second. Anything less than that, I think you're going to have to win the Hockey East tournament to get in. So to summarize and not to ramble too long to give you a chance is, you know, I don't think the season is lost. At this point in time, I do think that the NCAA tournament is kind of out of our reach. I'm still frustrated, but, you know, just hopefully they could really turn this around.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you on that because, like you mentioned, hockey is just really good this year. So there are going to be points during the season where UConn's going to be able to make up their pairwise ranking. Like BC looks really good this year. I saw them against Denver on TV, and I'm like, man, that team's going to be a top 10 team in the country just by watching their first couple of games. Obviously, they might play Quinnipiac in the CT Ice tournament, and who knows, maybe Harvard ends up being a really good team. So they're going to have points in the season where they're going to face ranked teams in the pair, in top 20 teams in pairwise. And I feel like they're going to have their chance to sort of dig themselves out of the hole they created. But like you mentioned, it's really frustrating that they're in this spot to begin with. And with the talent this team has and how inconsistent they have been in offense, how their power play hasn't looked that great, it just really, and how the defense hasn't been that great, in my opinion, as well. I think it's been okay. It's just really frustrating because I thought you were going to see the team take the next step and kind of dominate these first six games. And you just really didn't see that. And that's sort of where my frustration lies, is like, we shouldn't be in a spot where we're trying to dig ourselves out of a hole. We should be heading into a positive momentum, heading into UMass Lowell, trying to prove ourselves that those six games weren't a fluke, and that we're a good team. And it's frustrating that we're in this spot. That's sort of my whole, I guess, thoughts on the season so far.
Yeah, I think my only rebuttal to that would be like, you're right. Those opportunities are unquestionably going to be there in Hockey East, but because of this hole we've dug, you can no longer split a series with BC or BU and just hope the pairwise. You're going to have to take, 6 points in that weekend when you face those teams now because you burned any kind of wiggle room that you had in this non-conference. So, like, yes, you're right. They absolutely can. Like, I mean, what if we, I mean, unrealistic. If we win out, yeah, we're getting into the NCAA tournament. But, like, you're going to have to sweep some of these teams we just mentioned, like the Providences, the BUs or whoever. The Merrimacks, you're gonna have to like take 6 points against them to make up for the six, the points you lost against Holy Cross. So like, yes, it's there, but like, having watched this team through 3 weekends, like, do you have any faith right now that they can, after getting swept by Holy Cross and pucks just didn't bounce our way, that they're capable of sweeping a BU or a
I think they
BC or
could.
a Merrimack?
I think they could surprise people. Maybe sweep a BU because UConn has a lot more experience than that Terriers team does, and I also think their goaltending is also better than what BU has. And I know BU has struggled out of the gate, but they're definitely going to find their way. But I could see them potentially maybe surprising people and getting a sweep. I don't think they're going to sweep BC or BU. Like, they're not going to sweep both those teams, but I could see them maybe one weekend sweeping a ranked team and helping themselves out a little bit. Sort of what Northeastern did last year. They had some really bad losses in their pairwise ranking. I think they lost like Bentley and Union last year. And then they sort of made up for sweeping UConn being one of those and having some good results. And obviously it ended up not really working out for them, but they put themselves back in the pairwise conversation. And I think UConn does have the talent to do that, in my opinion. And I know I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are about that, but that's just sort of how I still think the team is capable of doing things in the season, like you mentioned, but also potentially challenging for a tournament spot. I never thought they were going to be like a top five team. I thought they were going to be a bubble team and maybe find themselves way into making that conversation by going on a run in a hockey's playoffs. And I still think that possibility can happen, but they got to have to turn around pretty much this weekend in order for me to believe that.
Yeah, I think my and again, all fair points. I think my big thing is I don't know that I have seen enough from this team in the past 3 weekends to prove to me that they're capable of sweeping one of those schools we mentioned.
Yeah.
I know they can because on paper the talent's there. Where was that talent against Holy Cross? I didn't see it. That defense looked god awful. Like they were slow. They couldn't get the puck out of their zone. They looked so like just discombobulated, like incoherent. Like it was, guys, five out of the six are returning. We only lost Canal. Like, why are you looking like half these guys had the same D partner as they did last year? And it's like they couldn't even get the puck. It was just. It was like they were skating in quicksand. I couldn't get over how, and again, the Holy Cross home game is the only like game I've seen in person so far this year. So that's where a lot of like my judgment is coming.
We're going to have a little rant about the schedule, because I'm with you on that. This schedule was an absolute joke, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah. No, it was always a time bomb. But again, I'm basing a lot off of that home opener against Holy Cross where we got shut out, which, you know, you could argue was probably the worst game of them all. But there were just so many red flags for me. Like that particular game, like, after losing, you know, the night before in Worcester, like
that was the worst game, by the way. I was at that one.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like you would think they would come home with a fire under their ass and just go like,
I thought they were though. They outplayed Holy Cross throughout pretty much the entire game. It's just one bad turnover really kind of killed them, because they had more puck possession than Holy Cross did. I feel like Holy Cross like had maybe like 5 or 6 shots on goal in the last two periods.
So I know, like in our group chat, a couple people had mentioned that it reminded them of the Lowell game, and I said that.
It reminded me exactly of it. One bad mistake, and then they just couldn't score on a decent goalie. I'm not gonna say Jason Grandy's like Devin Levi out there, but I thought he was okay.
In my rebuttal, if you remember, was I vehemently disagree. That Lowell game, there were, I mean, I think we had somewhere in the mid 40s shots on goal. And out of those like 46, 45 something shots, I'd swear like 20 of them were like grade A. Like that kid is a Gringles. That what it was?
Oh my gosh, I don't want to remember him.
Standing on his head during that game. That Holy Cross game, I get it. We control possession, we outshot him quite a bit. How many of those were truly grade A chances? Maybe a handful. And I get it. We absolutely did outplay them. I don't think it was anywhere close to the Lowell game. A lot of those shots, I mean, any hockey's backup is probably going to stop. There were maybe like 2 or 3 really hard saves he had to make. Other than that, it was just a little bit of rubber on that. What was our final shot? Like 28, 30, something like that?
I think it was like around 40, honestly. It might have been like 36, 37 shots. I don't know. I don't have the exact number on me. I can look that up.
I don't know. I got to look that up. But like, regardless, I don't think any of them, nearly as many were as grade A. Like that Lowell game, I walked away saying, Lowell doesn't deserve this at all. We were 100% the better team. Holy Cross, I'm like, I don't know. They mucked it up. UConn didn't want it. The offense looked putrid. The power play, don't even get me started. The penalties they take, it's like, and like that's my big thing. That was the one thing I didn't even mention off the intro was.
Oh, like, they're very undisciplined. That's one thing that has bothered me a little bit as well.
Absolutely. Undisciplined. And like, when you look at the returning talent, like I said, you're losing, you know, Torberg and Pearson up top.
By the way, sorry to interrupt. They had 28 shots on net that game.
I thought it was 28. Yeah. See, I thought it was 28. Like I said, and that's like practically half of what the Lowell game was. Like it's not an apples to apples thing, in my opinion. And then, you know, you look at, you know, all the returning talent they have. They have Canal, you know, they lost Canal, they lost Torberg, they lost Pearson, and then Turness. Like those are their big four losses. All the talent they have returning, like, when you have that much returning production and consistency in, you know, lines from the previous year, like you're expected to take a leap, and they have not done so. And to me, that's coaching. Like you brought up real quick, that's coaching to me. Cause in hockey, it's not football. It's not Jim Mora where he's calling plays and whatnot. Like, yeah, you might draw something up off a faceoff or something like that, or during a timeout. You know, maybe there's certain, you know, cycles and rotations and ways you want to play, but like you're not drawing up plays. Like, you know, where you coach in hockey, your players get better, especially in college. You're supposed to be developing. That means player A from year one to year two is supposed to take a step forward. And I'm not saying these people aren't capable. What I'm saying is, when they've been playing together so long and so many of them are coming back, it shouldn't take 3 weekends to gel. Like, no, like this isn't, we've had years where half the team are freshmen. You know, we got like a 12 person freshman class or something like that. That's when it's like, okay, we got growing pains. These guys got to learn to play together. They got to learn the college game. That's not the case this year. It's not the case. And like, to me, that is 100% coaching.
Yeah. I think what also has been frustrating with me as well is sort of how it feels like, some of the players are trying to be too hero. It feels like, and they're also, it seems like they're thinking too much about it. Like, shout out to Hurley Mady. He pointed out in the Friday game against Union, there was one opportunity where it could have been a one-timer opportunity. I think it was for Richard. And it just like, they didn't even get a shot off on that play. It's just like now it's in their heads a little bit. I feel like they're trying to be too individual, which I don't even know how to say the word, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I just felt like they were just trying to do too much, and they should have simplified a little bit more. And I think they started to do that on Saturday, which is why they had some more success. But it's just been frustrating a little bit just seeing how the offense just hasn't been there and how the power play just has been kind of meaningless, you know. And then they just take bad penalties at bad times and they get killed on them sometimes as well, which I think you saw in that Holy Cross series. And they almost got killed with it against Colgate as well. I think people sort of forget about that as well. So it's been frustrating. But I will say, I do want to add a positive. I thought Saturday was their best performance of the season, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe it can turn some positive momentum heading into this weekend. But overall, the first six games have been really disappointing from sort of the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going up to Lowell, to Songus on Friday with Mark, and quite frankly, I don't know what to expect. I think it's probably the best way to put it. I literally, you know, like I said, the biggest red flag to me was just that lack of like fire out of the gate, that home opener against Holy Cross. And it's like, you know, like, and they clearly responded on Saturday against Union. That I agree. I think that was probably their best, you know, overall effort of the season. That was domination from start to finish. Although the penalties didn't, I don't think, cleared up too much. I think that kind of reared their head against Union. I don't know exactly how many they took in that series as opposed to the other two, but I don't know what I'm going to see on Friday. What I do know is that it's Hockey East play and that these really count. And that, you know, like you said, I'm, you know, you know, some refer to me as a pessimist. I prefer the term realist. But if you want to turn me around, my attitude, the skeptics around, go out and prove it this weekend, because these games really matter. These are points that are really going to be huge against a Lowell team that's always tough as hell. It's going to be low scoring. It's going to be, you know, probably a one goal game, maybe an empty netter. Like, these are the games you really got to pull out if you want to, you know, do anything come early March. So it's, you know, I don't know what to expect, but if they can really pull something off here this weekend, then, you know, all right, I'll buy back in for a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be able to do it? I feel like we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly from UConn this year. I feel like they're probably more like what they were on Saturday. But I also feel like they're not as bad as they were, like, against that Friday night Union game was horrible. Like, I know Cav tried to like make it sound like it was like no, it just didn't play that well. And also, like, they weren't that good against the Holy Cross series. I feel like they're a little bit, they're not as bad as that, but they're not as good as they were on Saturday. Maybe I feel like it's sort of in the middle. And I think they're capable of potentially getting a split. I just want to see a good split against a good team against UMass Lowell. That's sort of my expectations for the series. And then you got Vermont the following weekend, so sweep that road series. And then I think you have some good momentum heading into Merrimack, which is your first kind of big test of the season.
Yeah, I mean, when I say I don't know what to expect this weekend, I truly have no idea. They could get swept, wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. They could sweep them. They're capable of it, wouldn't surprise me. I mean, maybe it surprised me a little. A split, again, wouldn't surprise me. I think if I have to pick it, I'm going to pick a split. I think that's probably the most likely outcome. But if either team, if Lowell or us swept, I both are possible. I don't think that's impossible. I also think, you know, I think I would have been happy as a clam with a split 2 weeks ago until the last four games. And now I'm like, you know what? You want me to hop back on this bandwagon? Prove it to me. Show me what you got. Go up there and kick Lowell's ass 2 days in a row. You know, beat him Friday and then beat him in the XL on Saturday. You know, it's like you owe us that, because you shit the bed the last two weekends. You pissed down your legs at Holy Cross and then you followed it up with another dud at Union. Like, you know what? You want to prove something to me and your fans. You want to get people in the stands. Like, go show me something against Lowell.
Yeah,
a split is fine. Split's not going to ruin the season. But you know what? After the last two weekends, if you want people to really start talking about UConn hockey again, this is how you show them. You win both games.
Yeah. I just want to get your thoughts on other parts of the team. So sort of some individual players. I guess we'll start off with the goaltending. What's your thoughts on the goaltending this year? I know they haven't been really that tested that much, which is kind of crazy to say. I feel like Sergeyev looks better than he did last year. I feel like his rebound control has gotten better. But I feel like there's times where he tries to do too much and then he gets out of position and he gives up some bad goals. You saw that on Friday night against Holy Cross. He almost get, I think he had one against Colgate in the first game of the season. So there's still some things I want to see him clean up, but I do think he's improved a lot from last year. And I feel like I see the potential with him, and I'll be interested to see if he cleans that stuff up, how high can his ceiling get? Cause I do think it's very high. And Hader, I think, has looked excellent. He's been one of the few positives from the season. I really like him a lot. Him and Sergeyev are very similar. I think Hader probably plays the puck a little bit better than Sergeyev based on what I've watched so far. But I think it's going to be, obviously it's too early to see which goalie is going to take over the ropes at the end of the season, but I think we're in for a really good goaltending platoon to start off the season. And I think it's going to be better than Turnus and Sergeyev last year, just because one, both goalies have experience now, but also I think they're going to be able to push each other. And I feel like we're going to get some good, I feel like it's going to be an interesting conversation to see how the goaltending works out this year. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think the goalies, quite frankly, have been the least of my concerns. I think Sergeyev has been what we thought Sergeyev would be. I think Hader's been a very pleasant surprise. I think he's been excellent. If anything, I'd say a touch more consistent than Sergeyev. I feel very comfortable with both of them in the net. I'm fine with the rotation still. I don't think one is necessarily in any way, shape, or form separated from the other. They haven't really been tested too much. Plus I think when you're not getting many shots on goal a night, which in some of these games they haven't, it's tough to kind of stay fresh and stay awake. So, you let in a squeaker or something like that.
That story you go on Friday was awful. I'm sorry. I was like, you got to save that, man.
And that's what Sergeyev has done, right? Sergeyev will let in that squeaker occasionally and then he'll make that save. He has no business making. Whereas Hader almost reminds me a bit of Turnus in the sense that like, he's very steady. He's kind of steady as a rock.
I feel like he's way more athletic than Turnus is, and he's also taller as well, which makes a difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm just saying in the sense that, like, what you're going to get from Hader. I don't know that he's necessarily capable of sealing a game just yet, but I don't think Hader is going to give that weak goal up either. So, like I said in the beginning, goaltending is by far the least of my concerns on this freaking team.
And what's been your thoughts on the new players, specifically Richard and Muldowney? I've really liked Richard a lot. I thought he worked well with Matthew Wood. And I'm happy, by the way, that they've put Matthew Wood back at wing. I feel like him at center was sort of like, I feel like he struggled a little bit there. I feel like they got to give him some more time before they move him to that position. But that's sort of a conversation for another day. But I really like Richard a lot. He looks like a good addition. I think Muldowney, you see signs of that he could be a good player for this team. He sort of reminds me of a young Carter Turnbull a little bit. Maybe it's the number 8 that makes me feel that way. But I've really liked him a lot. And I think Owen Simpson has been a good addition for that decor. I'm interested to see if he could sort of stabilize himself in that lineup and maybe take Pascucci's 6-man defense spot. But we'll have to – I feel like we need a few more games to sort of – see if that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the newcomers, I think Richard, you could argue, has been the best player. I honestly think so. I don't think that's necessarily like a stretch. I think he's been consistent. I love what I've seen from him. He's aggressive. He's got good size for a kid.
He needs to muscle up a little bit, though. He looks skinny out there, at least from what I saw on Friday and Saturday a couple weeks ago.
And that's how they always come into college too. I mean, even look at Tage; he was a twig. It was 2 years at UConn. You got to beef up a little, but I love Richard. I think that kid's going to be an absolute stud, easily the crown jewel of the recruiting class. Muldowney, I mean, he's a freshman and playing kind of mostly bottom 6 minutes. Haven't seen a ton from him, but he hasn't looked out of place either, which is a good thing. Like, you don't want to stand out for the wrong reasons either. I'd rather have you blend in with, a couple of sophomores and juniors that have been here for a couple of years. So he's been solid there. The other one that we haven't talked about is Mashey, right? The transfer from
he's been a little bit disappointing for me, unfortunately. I thought he was going to sort of step in and take that Pearson role. And like you mentioned on the space, that those transfers are super important because the last 3 national champions, their top scorer was a transfer. And I feel like Mashey's been fine. It's not like he's been awful. Like, he does a lot defensively, but offensively, I would like to see a little more from him, especially with playing with Shandor and other guys like that. And I know he finally scored his first goal on Saturday, but I've been a little underwhelmed with him so far this season. But if he's listening to this, maybe this motivates him and he can turn it around a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I you know, especially watching him in person, you know, wasn't necessarily, like, you know, he described himself as a power forward. I, at least in the Holy Cross, I didn't see too much of that. I would like to see him be a little more aggressive. He's got great size. He's a big kid. You know, he put up the points at RPI last year. You know, hopefully that goal that he got Saturday gives him a little bit of confidence going forward, because that's always big too, especially when you're on a new team. You know, you kind of got to earn your stripes a little bit, let the teammates know, all right, yeah, this kid knows what he's doing. So hopefully that's huge for him. He can kind of take off from there. But yeah, I mean, in the first few weekends, didn't really stand out. Like I said, just not, you know, I think part of it too, especially with the transfer, you got to find that right mix in terms of a line, in terms of chemistry. I think that's big for transfers, right? Like, you know, in the beginning of the season, you'll see a lot of like line shuffling. And I know Cav did some against Union this past weekend. And he's got to find that right mix, because he's a veteran player, right? He's a grad student.
Yeah,
isn't he?
He's a grad. Yeah.
Okay. So
this is his final year of eligibility.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, I mean, he knows who he is. And he needs players that are going to compliment him, right? And I'm still trying to, you know, get a read on him myself. But like I said, I hope that goal kind of sparks that confidence. And if he can click with his line mates a little better, I'm not, you know, going to write him off just yet. But it has been a slower than expected start, because you do expect that almost from like the freshman, but not so much like the grad transfer. But, you know, I'm going to cut him some slack. We'll see how he does in his first hockey series against Lowell, because God knows Lowell plays as tight defensively as anybody. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If he can get a point or two this weekend, I think the kid's going to be okay.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to ask you about before we get to the last two topics is sort of Matthew Wood and what you've seen from him in year two. I feel like I've liked some stuff that I've seen from him, but I will say when they put him in that center position, I feel like it kind of stalled him a little bit offensively, because maybe he was thinking too much. And then some other returners, what's your sort of thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. Like, you know, the offense has been putrid as a whole. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, up until the last game against Union, like, the house was on fire. You know, it's like, I swear Mike Cavanaugh is just perpetually that meme where like the dog is sipping coffee yeah. with all the flames on it. Everything's fine. This is fine. You know, like
he definitely rips the team in the dressing room, but I agreed with what you said in the group chats. Like, I feel like he needs to sort of like do it a little bit more publicly, because Dan Hurley does that. And I feel like it gets under guys' ass a little bit. And obviously Dan, I know I don't want to compare two different sports, but obviously it works for his basketball team. And I don't know, I feel like Cav's sometimes too nice, which is kind of weird to say.
I agree. It irks me sometimes. Like I said, we're spoiled with Gino. We're spoiled with Hurley. And Calhoun was the same way. All three of our basketball coaches. And, you know, Hurley's probably a future Hall of Famer. The other two Hall of Famers, like, you know, they tell it like it is. They don't sugarcoat
stuff. Jim Moore does it too. Like, he rips on his team all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. and that's how – and I get it. You got to – you know, with kids these days, you know, if you rub them the wrong way – And I get it, it's not apples to apples, but at the same time, like, you know, don't just stand there and clap and tell me they played well after they just got freaking swept by Holy Cross. Like, just come out and be like, yeah, we just got swept by freaking Holy Cross. Like, we got shut out at home in our home opener by the College of the Holy Cross. Like
in our New Jersey night too. Like, that should have been like an automatic dub.
this is not okay. Like, they suck tonight. Just say it once. Like, you know, like, it doesn't mean they suck as people. It doesn't mean they suck as hockey players. It just means tonight they fucking sucked. You know, it's okay to say it.
It doesn't mean you're a bad person, Cav, too, if you say that. We still think you're a nice guy, so.
You know, like, everyone else knows they suck. So everyone with a brain just looking at you is you're a fucking liar anyway. So, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, as a whole, like, the offense, it just, you know, would – I think taking a step to center is a big thing in a prospect's development, because even the highest prospects that go on to the NHL, they start out at wing because they're not ready to play NHL center right away. And it's the same thing at each level. It's a bigger challenge. It's a bigger responsibility, both defensively with faceoffs, everything playing center. You know, so that didn't look like something he was ready for, quite frankly. You mentioned moving him back to the wing. Like, that was a huge benefit. I think he looked better at the wing. But that's also a sign that's like, okay, like, you know, you're just drafted 15th overall. Like, I'm sure the Predators would expect this kid to eventually at some point in college at least play center. Like, even if he projects as a winger in the NHL, like, you know, he should be able to take over college. Like, you look at what Tage did his sophomore year, right? I mean, Tage went off his sophomore year. And granted, Wood's probably a little bit younger than Tage, but at the same time, it's his second year of college hockey. He's a big boy. He's a big body. You know, he's got the skill. You know, like, he needs to take that next step. And maybe he wasn't ready for center. That's fine. Sit on the wing, Maddie, and just fucking rip clap bombs all day. Like, do what you do, but put up points because we need you. Like, we're going to need him when this offense gets stagnant. Look, at any great team in the country, they lean on their top players. Those top players, that's where they earn those recruiting stars. That's where they earn those that NHL team logo next to their name, because they can take it to the next level. When BC's struggling, they could look at Will Smith or Ryan Leonard and be like, all right, go do your thing.
Better Gauthier.
Or Gauthier. Yeah, that just goes on and on. You know, same thing with BU. You know, they look at Lane Hudson. All right, showtime. Go ahead.
Celebrini's looking like he can do that too for them.
You know, well, he's our Celebrini. He's our Cutter Gauthier. Matthew Wood is who we got. And if he can't take his game to the next level, and occasionally, I'm not saying night in, night out, bail us out, but you know what? That game against Holy Cross, just net one. You know, like,
be a little selfish too.
Yeah, I will never forget watching Tage in college for those 2 years. Like, there were games where he would just create something out of absolutely nothing. We've had this Mike Cavanaugh offense for a decade. It's always looked like this. But there's players that will occasionally, sometimes, like a Tage, that will step up. They create a shot, a deke out of nowhere, and get the team going. And then
remember that game against UNH where they were down like 4-0, and I'm pretty sure like Tage Thompson got like 3 or 4 points and helped them win that game. It was something like that. I don't know if you remember that game.
No, I do. And I remember the UMass game too. There was a UMass game Tage played against, and I remember he just got off this nasty wrist or like out of nowhere. Just like, and that's what Tage would do. And it's like, Matt, you were drafted 15th overall.
Higher than Tage.
Higher than, like you're supposed to be that. I'm not saying it got to bail us out. Like I said, every single night, but occasionally when your team is sleepwalking against Union in the College of the Holy Cross, like, rip one top cheddar. Like, that's what you got drafted 15th overall for. Not to just freaking, you know, skate out there with your fucking, you know, dick in your hands. Like, you have no clue what you're doing. Like, you know, like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
I'm frustrated, but like, I just, yeah. You know, like, that's what I mean. Like, he's got to step up at some point.
There's one more rant we want to get to, and that's the schedule. And I talked a little bit about this on Twitter, but I do think it needs to be addressed because this schedule, I'm just going to say, it was kind of a joke. The fact that you only have one home game in 3 weeks is a thing on itself, but I looked this up, Kevin. Only three Hockey East teams, their first three non-conference teams they've played, aren't ranked, and that's UConn, I think Northeastern, and then Vermont. I feel like you got to try to challenge yourself a little bit. And I know we talked about this in the space a few weeks ago, that we said we didn't care if they had exhibition games. I changed my mind on that. They should have played an exhibition game to start off the series and try to get better non-conference games. It's just like, you don't gain anything from playing Union, Colgate, and Holy Cross to start off the year. You only lose, really. Like, if they weren't 6-0, yeah, they were going to be ranked like on the USCHO polls, but it's not going to do anything because you're just like, well, what is this team? Because they haven't really been tested. And the schedule this year really frustrated me because there was too many pairwise killers game. And then I just want to, it's just kind of like, it's like, you have one weekend series where you play at home. Like, you got to have one to start off the season. The fact that you only have one home game in the first 3 weeks of the season is kind of not, in my opinion, kind of I wish they played more home games, I guess, to start off the year, balance the schedule out a little bit. But I'll let you rant about it too, because I know it pissed you off as well.
What you just said is literally what I said before the season started on that Spaces. I said this was, it was almost verbatim. This was a no-win non-conference schedule. I said that literally in the offseason 3 months ago. That's what I mean. All these teams, we talked about it. Union, Colgate, like, Holy Cross, they're not terrible. Like, they're not like the worst of the worst. They're actually better than like the name like on the jersey would have you think. But like, they're not good enough that you're going to get a ton of credit for beating them. So it's like, if you beat them, it's like, oh, cool. You beat Holy Cross. Great. Like, you're supposed to, like, you know, you're a top 20 team in Hockey East. Like, you know, I'd hope so. You know, same thing with Union and Colgate. And it's like, and it's those games where if you lose them, it kills you in pairwise. It's a no-win situation. Again, I go back to Cap. You have to know you have a legitimate, you know, tournament contending team, like roster on paper. You got to get games that are going to help you get in there, man. Because if you schedule a Minnesota or something and you lose, you get swept by them, guess what? Looks a hell of a lot better on a resume than a sweep to Holy Cross. And pairwise is going to reward you for going out there. I'm like, oh, well, at least they tried to play Minnesota as opposed to scheduling Atlantic Hockey School at home. You know, like, so it's bad management. It's bad schedule management by Kath. And like these, you know, this is college hockey, college football. You make your schedules like, you know, 5 years in advance.
And that's with athletic directors too.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's athletic directors. Like Cav makes the schedule. He makes it, you know, no more than 1 year in advance. Like he has to know, like, oh, we're going to have a pretty good team next year. I got to make sure that, like, you know, we have a couple challenges. We're going to put an NCHC team in there. We're going to put a Big Ten on there. I looked
through some teams that they could have played that would have been like good challenges. I thought Arizona State, that's a team you could have played. They're independent. They're looking for teams to play. They're a top 20 team. Go out to Mullet Arena. I think I would love to go out there personally, but that's a good test for your team to play Arizona State. Cornell, I know they got smoked by them at MSG, but that would be a good test for them to go out to Lina and play them. I'm just picking like ECAC teams. Quinnipiac, I know they technically play them in the CTIs, but have a game where you actually play them so you don't have to like, if they win or not, play Quinnipiac. They would definitely do that. You know, I'm just like maybe a Clarkson or St. Lawrence, you know, they're sort of in the bubble tournament teams. Those teams would be good to play. And I don't mind them playing Holy Cross for a weekend, but you have to add like a Cornell or Arizona State to make that manageable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. And like, it's doable too, because you can tell it. Cav was clearly willing to go on the road, wasn't he? So if you call up a school, like you said, like a Cornell or an Arizona State, like, hey, we don't even expect a return trip. We're trying to make the NCAA tournament. Like, we'll come out to you for two games. You tell us when.
Yeah, it's UConn. You're a name brand school. Like, they would make, yeah.
Go sign up for that in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? Go to a Penn State or something. Be like, hey, like,
Michigan State.
Yeah. Your place. Don't worry about it. Just sign the contract. You know, like, you have to know. That's negligence. Like, on Kavanaugh's part, you have to know that this was a no-win schedule that he set up for us this year. Like, he has no one to blame other than the guy he's looking at in the mirror. Like, this was a horrible, horrible schedule. Could not have been worse timing. Just such a – and let's be honest, Matt, we've been following this team since day one. You know, and I know you love your Ohio State series, but
that was a good series last year. You have to admit that actually benefited them in pairwise. So
I'm just saying, you have to admit, as a whole, our non-conference schedules have largely been very unattractive. Like, it's been the Browns, it's been the RPIs, it's been the Unions, the Colgates, the occasional Atlantic Hockey School here and there. Like, you know, you look at the big boys, right? Even NCHC, we played Miami a couple of years ago.
I think that's the only one I remember from the NCHC.
Yep, we played Colorado College in Bridgeport years ago.
That's probably why I don't remember that one.
Like, you know, Big Ten, I mean, Ohio State, I think, is the only one. Notre Dame was in our conference for a while.
Did they play Minnesota on the road, like, their first year in hockey?
We played one game against Minnesota. I think it was a holiday tournament. I could be wrong.
They got, like, smoked in that game, if I'm not mistaken. But
like, even look at the CCHA teams. That's a decent little conference.
Michigan Tech, they're ranked.
Go see your boy Artem with Northern Michigan or whatever. You know, go play Western Michigan, another great team. Lake Superior, like, there's other options. And he plays these same, you know, shit-ass schools from the Northeast every single year. And, yeah, occasionally he'll give us an Ohio State or something like that, you know. But it's like – the non-conference as a whole for 10 years has been nothing but just, you
it
know.
It just frustrates me because you see UMass down the road, they're hosting Michigan for a weekend. It's like, how cool would that be if Michigan came to Hartford or like BU playing Quinnipiac or going, they play Notre Dame this past weekend. Like, that's cool to see. BC, Denver, come over here. Providence, same thing. Maine's playing Quinnipiac this.
Because I've said for 10 years, we've never made the
NCAA. UNH has been irrelevant for 10 years, and they got Quinnipiac.
Yeah, they also hang banners. They've been in the, you know, there was, I think, a 10-year span. I don't think they missed an NCAA.
But I'm saying, like, recently, UNH, UConn's been better than UNH. Quinnipiac would much rather play UConn if I'm Rand Peckman.
The matter is, no one west of the frickin' Appalachians knows our program exists because...
Well, they know UConn exists. They're a name brand school.
Yeah, not our hockey team. They literally don't know we exist. Like, honest to God, man, we've never made the NCAA tournament. Like, we don't schedule team. We've scheduled maybe three schools ever, like, west of the, you know, the Appalachians. Like, it's, like, no one wants to play us. Look at, you brought up UMass. That was the first school you talked about. Look at UMass's schedules before they won that national championship, their non-conference. And then in years since, they've played Denver, they've played Mankato, they've played Michigan, and they've all come out to Amherst to play them too. Same thing with Providence. Once Providence won that natty, then you know what? You don't even have to make the calls. You just pick up the phone because they're going to call you. Hey, all right, you guys won natty. Let's come check out what you guys are cooking in Friartown.
I'm just like, UNH hasn't made the tournament in such a, like, I don't even remember UNH playing in the tournament. Maybe I'm showing my how youthful I am in this podcast. Maine hasn't made a tournament in a while. They still play like Quinnipiac and like good teams, it feels like. And they switched it up their non-conference schedule at least and play unique teams.
Northeastern team. Like, you know, I don't know that Maine and UNH are getting many teams like the North Dakotas or the Denvers of the world to come out there anymore because, like you said, they haven't been great in a long time. Quinnipiac, I get, they won the national championship, but they're also in Connecticut. It's different getting like a Northeast power versus like a big time Midwestern or Western.
That's only going to happen if you win a championship. But I'm saying like a team like Arizona State, who's a ranked team and is a good team. Like that's sort of the teams you just have to sort of try to go after now. And maybe you're not getting a North Dakota until you win a national championship. I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm saying more like, let's be realistic. Like Cornell, you played them before. That is a reasonable like non-conference series that you could schedule for this year's team. Arizona State, Michigan Tech. I feel like they're sort of kind of dropping the eight ball a little bit with that. At least try. And if I was Cav, I'd be like, listen, I would literally say in the beginning of the year, we try to play a better non-conference schedule, at least be honest about it instead of like not even acknowledging it at all.
Yep.
But, you know, that's why I'm not the head coach of the team, because I don't know how some of this stuff works, but it's just a little rant I wanted to have. But Cav, I don't know if you listened to this podcast, but still like you, man, and love for you to come on and defend yourself if you ever wanted to do that. But one more thing before we end off this podcast today is just a little preview for UMass Lowell and then around Hockey East. So Hockey East, pretty good non-conference schedule so far. UNH got a big split against Quinnipiac. BU finally sort of turned things around, beating Notre Dame on Saturday on the road. BC lost to Denver in a heck of a game, but Providence did beat them the previous night. So Hockey East is looking pretty good so far in their non-conference schedules. And then Lowell, heading into the series against UConn, swept Colgate. So it should be an interesting test for UConn, to say the least. I know Griegels is not in net, so that's probably a big relief for UConn, but they still have some interesting players like Matt Krasa and guys to look out for with that. But I feel like it's no really players really stick out for a Lowell. It's sort of just the system that Norm Bazin has. And listen, I think Norm Bazin is probably one of the most underrated coaches in college hockey. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a big time job coming up in the next few years, just because he's done a good job with that program. But should be a gritty series, and I'm predicting a split, but that's sort of what's been going around Hockey East, just my UMass little preview. But UConn needs to win one of these games at least. They can't afford another sweep. I'll let you sort of end off with your thoughts on just what's ahead for the team.
Yeah, and I already touched on it, right? You know, like the outcome isn't really going to surprise me too much. I think the one thing I'll say too that's interesting was they opened up the season in Anchorage. They flew all the way out there, which is pretty awesome. And then, like you said, they came back to the Northeast and went up to Colgate, just like us, only they swept. And then Friday is actually their home opener. So I'm expecting a pretty good crowd on Friday night, and a little bit of I think Lowell's one of the higher attendance.
I think it's the most attended Hockey East team, just because of the capacity of the arena and stuff. So
they're a well-supported team in Hockey East as it is. You throw in the fact that it's opening night. I think it's going to be loud. I think there's going to be a lot of people there. I think it's going to be a tough environment. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. It could be one of those things where they might have to weather the storm because of that a little bit, so to speak, in the first. You know, I'd like to see them not come out on their heels and actually do the attacking, but we'll see. I truly have no idea, like I said, what to expect from this UConn team this weekend. All I know is if I had to put money on it, I'm going to take the under. And I'm sure it's going to be like,
you always do the under for Lowell.
Always the under for Lowell. Always the under. It's like the Islanders. New York Islanders and UMass Lowell hockey. Just take the under every game. Thank me later. I'm assuming a tight game. I don't see either team winning by, you know, three goals or more. I think it's going to be, you know, one and an empty netter maybe. So we'll see. You know, Saturday is the first game at XL this season.
I'm interested to see what that crowd's going to be like, because part of me feels like maybe it's going to be a little bit dead because it's still football season. But, you know, Hartford doesn't have many games this year, so maybe some people might show up for that. So I'm interested to see how it goes.
Not for nothing, and this will be my final rant to kind of end, you know, for me is, you know, UConn took a lot of heat for building this hockey rink as small as they did, and rightfully so. I think we can all agree it should be a larger capacity, okay? I don't think that's a controversial statement. But the one reason, and I've said since the beginning, is like, you know, the team was in Hartford for 10 years. Like, you know, not enough people came out. And granted, like, you know, you look at the years, largely through the years we were there, we were like a below 500 team.
This is you and me, Kev, in the section sometimes.
Yeah, seriously. And it's like, if you really want to make the case and put the heat on UConn and, you know, the people that make these decisions and whatnot, show out on Saturday. You know, it's a 4 o'clock on a Saturday. You could still go out after and do whatever the heck you want. You know,
some Saturday night college football game if you want.
Yeah, go do something, you know, like Halloween, you know, related or something like that. I love a good, you know, haunted house or corn maze, something like that. You still have the whole night.
And the UConn football game's at noon, so it'll be ending just in time when the game starts. So if people are into that.
So, you know, come out, support the team. You know, I know I shit on them, but I love this team. I really do. They deserve your support. And you know, like I said, do not complain about the capacity of that arena and then don't show up there Saturday. Because you know what? That's why they built it so small, because they didn't think you people exist. You're very loud on social media and Twitter and Facebook. Oh, what a joke. How small that is. Okay, let me hear you on Saturday, folks. Let me hear that this arena should have been, you know, 5K bigger in stores. Because you know what? I got to see it to believe it. So like I said, don't complain if you're not there Saturday.
That would be pretty funny if they have a build it bigger chant on Saturday. Yeah. I think that would be pretty awesome if they did that. But I'm with you on that whole thing. I totally agree with you on that. Well, Kevin, it should be a fun weekend of hockey regardless. Even when the team isn't playing that well, it's still fun. It's still good to see that hockey's back. Those summer, man, it blows when there's just no hockey going on. So I'm glad to see it back. Glad to be back on the pod and excited to talk about hopefully a good series against Lowell and before heading up to Vermont the following weekend. Should be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, man. Love talking hockey with you. I just love college hockey. And we're just, you know, both huge fans of the sport. And like I said, boys, win me over this weekend. Handle business. And I'm willing to pretend like the last couple weeks never happened. But you got to win me back this weekend.
Yeah, prove Kevin wrong. That will be how I end off this podcast. That'll be weekend's mantra. So have a good night, everyone.